to be happy. In every life we have some
Hello,
trouble.
My name is Gail Moskowitz, and you are listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been privileged to practice in the Richmond community for 31 years. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Psychological issues are as complex as they are misunderstood. You know, all of us have issues that are emotional in nature. We all have blind spots, and we all get confused. We have all experienced sadness or depression, anxiety or panic, peer pressure, loss, and the list goes on and on. Yet, as a society, we underfund mental health programs, have morally confused notions of how to make the pain go away, and we like to judge others for their behavior. Each week on Mental Health Matters, I introduce a topic, and I either discuss the topic with a knowledgeable guest or from my own body of information and experience, and then give you, the audience, an opportunity to weigh in on the subject or to ask questions. Today's subject is something that affects every one of us. You can't get out of it. It is 100% across the board something we all must deal with. And that's the issue of death, grief, and mourning. Not a happy topic, but one that's important to talk about. So if you would like to weigh in on the subject, or if you have any questions, please feel free to call me today at 649-9737, 649-9737. That is the number at which you can reach us. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM on your local Richmond, Virginia dial. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with almost all of my past shows, by logging on to my website, which is Your Mental Health Matters. Actually, best way to get in touch with, get my website is through the WRIR website. Just go to my show, Mental Health Matters, and click on it, and that'll get you to my website. So, if you'd like to be in touch with me during the week, I really do encourage you, if you have any questions or thoughts for future shows, to please send me an email, yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Those are the letters U-R, Mental Health Matters, all one word, @gmail.com. So I want to highlight the issue today of grief, death, and mourning. And I want to just tell a very quick story. This week, I was just busying myself about doing one thing or another, and something came into my head about that had to do with my daughter. And the thought that came directly after the thought that came directly afterward is, oh, I want to tell my mom about that. Well, that would be nice, except my mother died. It'll be 9 years ago in December. And while I, you know, have these thoughts occasionally, oh, mom would think that was funny, or, oh, I wonder who said, I'll ask mom, she would know that. While all those things do happen, every once in a while, there's such a strong feeling to be able to talk to my mother that, as it was at that moment, that I felt tearful and mournful. And, you know, I allowed myself to feel it, and then I moved on. So I said to a friend of mine later on that day that it just seemed so odd to me that I could have that feeling so strongly that it there's a nanosecond in my thinking process where I forget that my mom passed away. And she said to me that she absolutely had that same experience with her father, her mother's still alive, that she, where she, there are certain things they shared together that were so paired together, so connected, that one thought almost always led to another. And I thought that that was true, because when it had to do with calling to brag about my daughter, who else but your own parents would really be interested? Nobody. So that is always when I really miss my mom, when I just want to share a funny story or brag about my daughter. And it made so much sense what she was saying. And yes, I do miss my mom. And no, it does not keep me from having the life I want to have. And I do miss my father, although my father has been dead for a very long time. I don't miss him in that same way, but I did probably for the first 10 years after he was dead, because he died when I was 26. So interestingly enough, when I got on my Gmail account this week, there was a question that somebody wanted me to address. And the question was that was in regard to mourning the death of their parent. And I thought that it was interesting because I had had that experience, and that's why I decided to talk about this today. So I do want to let you know that if anybody has any questions in regards to death, dying, or mourning, please call me today at 649-9737. 649-9737. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters. So, what is grief? Well, grief is coping with losing a loved one, and it's one of thing that I said that every one of us has to go through. And if you've lived through the pain of mourning, you know that any way to ease the loss is something you would welcome to have. And but that, in truth, mourning has to be a process, and you have to go through it. So while you might get a brief break from it, you have to work through the process, and I 100% believe that. So the question from this individual is that, and I will paraphrase it because it's a very long, actually beautifully written letter, and he said this, that he is 35 years old and that he has not ever had a good relationship with his father. His father and mother were divorced. His mom had mostly raised him, although he's always had a relationship with his father. It was very circumscribed to, you know, going to a ball game once a month, or once a month they would talk on the phone just to touch base. And that he wasn't really in his dad's life, that he has one child now, and his father had spent very limited time with his own grandchild. And, you know, he didn't dislike his father. And when he was in his father's company, he actually enjoyed his father. His father was funny. He had a dry sense of humor. And his father was remarried to somebody who didn't have any children. And he barely had any relationship with this woman. They had really removed themselves in lots of ways. His father was certainly not completely estranged from him, but they did not have a close relationship. And when his father died of cancer, and it wasn't fun, he was surprised how unbelievably grief-stricken he was. He was surprised at how sad he felt, how he burst into tears, how he cried for several weeks, and that he was surprised. And his question was, and he said that his father's been dead for about 4 months now, that it feels better and better all the time, although he does find himself tearing up occasionally, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But he wondered why it would be such a difficult blow to lose somebody who he had had such a distant relationship with. And he did say in the letter also that his mom, that he was very close to his mom, and his mom was a very nice lady, and that he could understand that when, you know, she dies, hopefully, in a long time from now, he could understand how grief-stricken he would be. He just didn't understand about his dad. And I thought it was such a great question, and I wanted to respond to it. You know, our parents are an interesting, we have an interesting dynamic with our parents. We have no other relationship with anybody like we have with our parents. And in truth, for most people, the relationship with their mother and father is a covenantal relationship. We take it for granted that we are tethered to those individuals from birth. And there are a lot of things about our relationship with our parents that we can't even touch or smell because we don't really even remember. So you don't remember when you're first in the world or who holds you or kisses you or who gives you tummy kisses or who changes your diapers. You might hear stories from your parents about who did most of that, but you don't have a cognitive memory of the connection you had with your parents. So there's this whole body of connection you have to your parents before you even have the cognitive or verbal skills to have clear memory. That's part of your relationship with them. You have a covenant with your parents. They have a covenant to take care of you. So listen, you're talking about your dad who you're fairly estranged from, who isn't really in touch with you. You don't have a close relationship, but this man stays in your life. You get together once a month. So on some level, whether he's distant or not, he still feels that covenantal connection, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have any relationship with you probably. So there's something there that you might not really be thrilled about, but there's something there. And you learn things from your parents that become part of who you are, even if you're not super connected to them. And then there is the last piece of it, which is the wanting something from that parent, wanting them to be the parent they never were and never could be, and their death ends the possibility of the yearning to have that connection with your dad. And that sometimes elicits a more strong grief response than people with whom you have had a loving, connected relationship with every day of your life. We mourn the possibility, and possibilities are harder, they're less tangible than recognizing why you're mourning somebody. And that's why sometimes those things hit you in the head. Now, let me talk about what else he said, which is he said it's been 4 months and he's not as sad, but he still is sad. And I want to say to you, and I said it at the beginning of when we were talking about this, that mourning is a process, and it's a process you have to go through. Only everybody doesn't go through it the same, and every loss doesn't feel the same. But the one thing you can pretty much say is that the normal grief process, as it goes in stages, lessens over time. The more day-to-day, painful, acute feelings dissipate as time moves on. So perhaps for the first month, you just feel sick to your stomach and sad all the time. I know for me, I'm one of those people who, when I have a lot of negative things going on, I have a harder time eating, and I'll always lose weight in the face of something very stressful. And I can pretty much tell you at the age of 26, when my father died of a heart attack, that it was terrible. I think I I mean, I lost a lot of weight all at once. Now, I can't say that was terrible because I was at the time a little overweight, but that was not how I wanted to lose the weight. But I had trouble eating. And so that went on for a month or so. Will you just, at the beginning, you just feel it's acute. It's in your heart and in your head all the time in one way or another, sort of going through the motions. You're very tearful. Or if you're not tearful, you might just be feeling it anyway. And normal mourning then will move on where you don't feel that sick to your stomach feeling 24/7. It lessens. You might feel it intermittently. You might feel it when you're sitting and being quiet. You might feel it when you sit down to go to sleep at night, when you lie down and go to sleep at night. At the beginning, you might have feelings where every time they say where you think about that person who's passed away, you'll be sad, you'll cry, you'll feel mournful, and then that dissipates again over time. And sometimes what happens is that you'll be doing really well through the mourning process, and then something happens that just sort of restarts it, and you have to sort of go through that acute stage again. That's not unheard of by any means. But for some people, when they first experience loss, they are immediately sort of thrown into that very dead space inside of them where they don't allow themselves to feel anything. And it's kind of like shock after an accident or something shocking happens. And your body, your brain, your hormones all protect you from taking it in all at once. And that's actually a process, a brain process. So you might be able to greet guests or even laugh or talk lovingly about your loved one and not have it all come in on you at once. After the shock wears off, then all of a sudden you might then feel a barrage of those feelings all at once, and then you'll begin the process anew. And we are very good at taking things in incrementally. We are, as human beings, very good at taking things in incrementally so that we can learn to mourn little by little by little. So the process is different for everyone, but generally for everyone, it is a process. And if you try to circumvent that process by not allowing yourself tears, not allowing yourself sad, not allowing yourself sick to your stomach, by saying she wouldn't like me to be sad or he wants me to go on, you are going to, and I can pretty much tell you this, cause yourself some problems down the line. So being able to grieve in some cultures is so important. I believe that the Greeks, and in Greek culture, people have a mourning period, and I don't want to say the wrong thing, so I won't, but I think it's like for a year where you would be in mourning and everyone would know you would. And in the old days, people would wear black for X amount of time. And again, I don't know exactly the statistics on that, so I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I know that that goes on because their culture says, yes, you had a loved one and you miss them and you want to mourn them. In the Jewish culture, there's actual dates to go by. If you're mourning a spouse, you are religiously, so to speak, in mourning for a month, and you're asked not to dance or listen to live music. If you're mourning a parent, I think. Yes. No, parent is a year. That's right. If you're mourning a parent, that you go through that period for a year. And again, I'm not going to say the right dates. But there, what I'm saying is that there is space and time carved out in that culture to say it's important to remember that human being, that person had an impact on this world, and that person lives on inside of us, and that it is respect to their memory to allow ourselves the process of mourning. So even if you think that somebody would be mad at you for mourning, In truth, once somebody passes away, it's not about what they want from you. It's what you need for you. And if you circumvent the process of grief, we have something that happens that can really be a problem, which is that loss can become depression, and loss can become something you have profound and unending grief from. And that is not something that is good for anyone. Endless sorrow is not good. Complicated grief is not good for anyone. Because when someone passes on, we still must go on with our lives. So the first line of taking care of yourself is allowing yourself to feel the grief. And sometimes that doesn't feel so good, but it is very important to let it in, let it wash over you, gain comfort from the ones you love, and then you can begin the process of moving through it. Now, let me talk about comfort, because it's very important. I do want to tell you, if you have any questions about death or loss or mourning, please give me a call today at 649-9737. 649-9737. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters here on WRIR 97.3 FM. And we're talking about death, loss, and mourning. So when you first experience a death, a loss, what will happen in most cultures is people will come to take care of you, to bring you food, to hold you up, to give you hugs, to say nice words to you about your lost one. And that there's almost a feeling at the very beginning where you're almost like in a social situation, where you're sort of surrounded by all of these people, and they're bringing you food, and you're thanking them, and you're sort of talking about the loved one with that person. And it almost begins to feel like you're, you know, doing fine. I'm doing fine. I'm good. You're talking. You keep yourself going. And there's interaction. Or perhaps you don't feel that kind of exact social feeling, but there are people around, and they're comforting you, sending you cards, giving you a call, bringing you food. And this is really important, to sort of hold on to you and protect you from the profundity of how this loss feels at the beginning. And ultimately, all of these people have to go away in order for you to really get inside of yourself, because mourning is ultimately an individual process for all of us. Nobody feels the loss that you have the way you feel it. You can have 10 siblings and your parent can pass away, and each one of you has to mourn that parent differently. And that is an individual process. So now let me talk a little bit about guilt in relation to loss. Why is there always so much confusion about, why is there always guilt in relation to loss? Not always, but why is there so often guilt in relation to loss? Well, that is a pretty normal feeling. And part of it is that you might feel like you didn't do everything you wanted to do, or you didn't do enough for that person. So often somebody passes away and you think, did I get them to all the doctors? Did I say everything I wanted to say? Did that person know I loved them? All of those things. And no matter how much you are mindful that every time you say goodbye to your loved ones, you say, I love you, or whatever it is, because you want to make sure they know that if, God forbid, anything happens, no matter all of that, there are still unsaid, undone things between you and the person who has passed away. And that's where those feelings then come in. Did I do enough? Did I make sure that person got the best care? Did I show up enough? Did I laugh with them enough? Did I listen to them enough? Whatever it might be. So guilt is so often a part of mourning. And I guess what I want to say is it's okay to feel a little bit of that, but it's really important to know that it's time to move on from that and that those chronic feelings of guilt do you no good. And guess what? Does the person who's passed on no good? Find a way to heal that and let go. Find a way of letting go. When you first come to a death, you might go through all kinds of emotions. It's important to know that you're going to be sad, worried. You're going to be scared. As I said, you'll feel shocked. One of the things we often feel is unprepared. What am I supposed to do next? You know, it's like, how do I deal with all these money issues after somebody I know has passed away? Or, you know, if you've never bought a casket or gotten somebody buried, those things, these really practical things are in front of you. And remember, other people know what they're doing. Other people have gone through this. Ask for help. It's really important. Feel unprepared. You feel confused. You might feel angry. Why am I angry at this person for leaving me? Well, if you're young and your parent dies, I felt a little angry at my dad to die when I was 26. And I remember the next time I went to a wedding when I was 26 years old, I remember when the dad walked down the aisle with the gal who was getting married, I burst into tears and sobbed because all I could think of is, darn, my daddy ain't going to be there for me to walk me down the aisle. And that was just the most awful thought at that moment. I was lucky that my brother was able to when I did get to walk down the aisle, and he was a wonderful fill-in, but it was a sad feeling, and I felt angry at him and cheated. There's another feeling we sometimes feel, which is relieved. Sometimes we feel relieved because that person was in so much pain and their illness was so exhausting that we really know that they're better for letting go and passing on. We also might be relieved because the person in our life was a pain in our butt. They were hard to get along with. They were angry. We had a convoluted, difficult relationship with them, and that their passing frees us up. That's not unusual, and nor should you feel guilty for feeling that feeling. Sometimes you just feel plain exhausted. And that also is a very normal feeling. It's normal to have trouble concentrating, studying, sleeping, eating, all those things. I remember after my mom passed away, I didn't feel like I wanted to go out of the house much. I just didn't feel like socializing that much. But it was really clear to me. My husband would ask me, well, you want to go out to dinner? No, we'll stay home. It's like I wanted to have those feelings that you get when you're safe and comfortable in your own home. Those things are not unusual either. So you have to hear this. Loss and grief and mourning are a process. It's okay to allow yourself to feel all of those things. It takes a while to get through them. You have to get through them. You will get to the other side. And if you need some help, don't be afraid to ask for it. We'll talk more about this subject another time. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters. And I hope that you'll tune in next Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Be happy. In every life, we have some trouble. But when you worry, you